You're welcome. My name is Dermot. If you're visiting, you're more than welcome. If you're a regular here, you're welcome too. Why not? We'd invite you too. Last week, George kicked us off with a series called Overcome. And I hope that this series is going to sharpen us and it'll encourage us, but also it'll challenge us and kind of motivate us to overcome some things in our lives that we might have maybe become blind to or become a little complacent with. And I mean, let's be honest, who here doesn't have something they need to overcome? Who here doesn't have something that they want to conquer or want to get better at or maybe to struggle with and they need to fix that? Now, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't really have anything to overcome, might I suggest pride? Because all of us have a little something that we need to overcome. And nobody, I don't think, likes being a victim. Nobody likes to be thought of as a weak person. So the title of the series, I hope, will encourage us that we all want to be better at what we're doing. And last week, George kind of looked at a comparison and just the disease that is, that when we compare what we have or what we don't have to what others have or what others don't have, that when we do that, we live a life always feeling like we're missing out. We live a life always feeling that we don't have enough. So this morning, we're going to continue the series. And as I said, and Matt, that this thing on apathy is something that we all have to deal with. It's something that we all struggle with. And I don't care how caring you are, there's still that hint of it in us. And it's not that we can care about everything, which I'll get to in a minute, but have you ever been accused of not caring? Have you ever been accused of it? It's a horrible thing to be accused of, isn't it? Like, to be accused of not caring, it's like, I'm sorry to upset your world, you know, but it's not about you. You know, to be accused, I remember, it was probably, this was the one that stands out to me most. I was in maybe, definitely secondary school, more than likely fifth or sixth year. And for sure monthly, but probably weekly, my parents would get calls from the school all the time. My sister had to go, I would tell my teachers, my parents were working, so my sister would go to the school because she wouldn't tell my parents. And the school would accuse me all the time of being apathetic, all the time. They would say, you know, that he's indifferent. He has an extreme lack of caring. He doesn't care. I had a meh attitude. I didn't care. Now, that being said, I never failed an exam. I never did badly. I just didn't really care. And there was nothing anybody could say, or there was no amount of threatening, there was no amount of accusations. My parents went to school at least 40 times over a two-year period, just because I didn't care. I just, so what? So they would say, if he just applied himself more, if he just did more, if he just, and in my mind, I'm like, you can't make me care about something you care about. I'll care about it if I want to care about it, but don't make me care about it. Now, I'm glad to say I've overcome that area of my life when it comes to education, you know, but I went back and I did my whole deal, as I said, but it was just one of those things where they couldn't make me care. How do you make somebody care about something? How can I stand up here and tell you need to be more apathetic? You need to stop being indifferent. You really can't do that. So what I want to look at this morning is some angles or some things that might help us at least acknowledge areas that we might need to improve. Not because I'm telling you to, but because you want to. Not because I'm saying you should. You know, one of the areas that I find myself being apathetic in a lot of times is when I look at my as I am as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. Or then I look at my job, my role as a pastor. What should I care about that I don't? What should I care about that maybe I do, but I'm not showing it? For example, like Christians being killed every day for their faith. How many of us thought about this in the last 4 days? About Christians literally being shot, hung, stabbed, put in prison for their faith. All over the world. But because it's not in our immediate view, we don't really think about it. Should we care about it? You know, we often say, well, I'm too busy, or, you know, I have a lot going on, or, you know, it's not my business, or someone else will take care of it. You know, and they're normal things to say, you know, in areas of my life that I should care about, but I don't. See, no matter who we are, or no matter where we're at, we're all, Christians especially are accused, you know, of being, not practicing what they preach, being hypocritical. But the fact is, it doesn't matter your age, gender, or where you're from. Nobody really practices what they preach. You know, we do to a certain level, but no one fully practices what we preach. I don't care if you're a church person or not. We all have blind spots in our lives, and, you know, a lot of our lives don't match what we say we believe. So what, as I said, I'd like to do is look at something this morning, and as a Jesus follower, if you're somebody here who follows Christ, what should I care about? Now, I was only chatting with somebody this morning about this. When you become a follower of Christ, it's not like the Matrix where everything downloads and you all of a sudden care about, you know, Lord, what breaks your heart suddenly breaks my heart. That isn't how it works. I think it's a slow transformation over time that helps us to change and to care about what Christ cares about. And Scripture actually talks a lot about people with a great love and passion, and transforms into Christ's likeness and how we serve others. And I'm not plumbosting. There's so many people at Elevate like that who really love and care for people. But Scripture also talks about people who have fallen into a routine, who've fallen into just the pattern of, will I go to church this morning? Will I serve? Who cares? Like, it's almost just that indifference. You know, I think it's a warning sign to a Christian that they need refreshing and they need rest when they stop caring. It's a warning sign to us. You know, it can be hard. You know, if you're a parent here this morning, you know this, right? You know this. First thing in the morning, one of the kids hurt themselves. You have the energy to go over and pick them up. It's okay, baby. It's all right. And you'll mind them for 10 minutes. But that same kid will hurt themselves at 7 o'clock in the evening. And you're like, if you don't shut up, I'll give you something to cry about. Because you don't have the energy. You don't have the energy to look after them. So that's what I mean. You need to be refreshed as a believer in order to care for people almost. And so many of us do so much for so long, it's hard to keep that level of caring for everybody. So how do we as individuals, and I think more importantly, how do we as a church do that? And in order to look at this, I want to first look at some things that might make us feel indifferent. I want us to look at just three quick things and what might cause us to become indifferent, that we were exposed to so much things that cause us not to care. The first thing is the volume of information has become overwhelming. The volume of things we should care about numbs us to not caring. Knowing I was doing this message, I promise you I did this, I promise. I didn't seek out one thing. I just wrote down some, not all, some things that naturally came across my path this week that I should care about. So entertain me for 1 minute. Just this week, and this is from Wednesday, by the way. Just this week, what I looked at, that I should care about. 4 churches in China burnt down. Brothers and sisters went to prison. 2 pastor friends of mine are seriously ill in hospital. A pastor baptizing this week got eaten by an alligator, right? In front of his family while he was baptizing people. Right? 2 teenagers last week drowned in Ennis. My sister had a stroke. My mother's not well. My father's not well. My friend is dying of cancer. That I could think of this week, 19 people haven't been to church in a month. Too many people I know in this church, their marriages are struggling. I have several friends having a really, really hard time spiritually. Really hard time spiritually. I've spoken to 2 people this week with addiction problems. And just yesterday, A friend of mine, Lewis's friend, died in a car crash. Just this week. How can, we'll use me, all of you, I mean, I'm not the victim, all of us have this, right? How are we meant to care? Like, I might, if I try, knock 2 of these things off my list that I can actually emotionally invest in, that I can actually commit to. But how are we meant to do it? See, your emotional ability is limited. So how do we know what we should care for? So you know what we do? We take a nap. Have you ever had so much stuff to do that you take a nap? Because you can't. It's overwhelming. It's almost like your hard drive freezes because it's processing too much. So it's hard to care when our information, we're exposed to too much to care about. The second thing is we feel helpless to make a change. We feel really helpless to make a change. The truth, all of us would like to help, right? We'd all like to help with everything. We think, well, I'm only one person, but what can I do? You know the reason people don't ask you for help is the same reason you don't ask them. You don't want to bother them. You think they have a lot on. But isn't it true that all of us need help? Guys, I know it's quiet this morning, a little interaction, a little something. Isn't it true? Like, isn't it true we all need help, but we're either embarrassed or we're unsure if the other person is willing to help? That's horrible in a church. We should have a place to be able to reach out and help each other. We feel like it's none of our business and we don't want to, you know, come across as interfering or nosy, so we don't ask about issues we know are going on, but we don't ask about them. The third thing is we're blessed and cursed with comfort. We're blessed and cursed with comfort. See, all of us here this morning are blessed and cursed with comfort. All of us. I'm willing to say all of us slept in a bed last night. Right? I'll put it out. All of us slept in a bed last night. I'm even willing to say if you didn't have breakfast this morning, it was by choice, not because of availability. If you didn't have breakfast, it was saying, I don't eat breakfast. That's fine. But I guarantee you're planning on where you're going to have lunch. We all eat. Here's how blessed we are. We order food from our phones. Can I get a shout out for Tasty Bites?
Yeah. Yeah.
We order food from our phone. Here's how comfortable we are, right? This is the truth. Here's how comfortable we are. We actually get offended when Netflix buffers. We actually get offended when it buffers. We think an injustice is happening when our internet is slow. That's how spoiled we are. Isn't that ridiculous? That's how spoiled we are. I can't believe this. The internet's slow. God forbid. Isn't it, when you say it out loud, isn't it stupid how blessed with comfort we are? And because of that, when we're that blessed with comfort, guess what? It becomes all about me. It becomes all about me. The more it tends to become, less it tends to come about others. And because of that, we don't like problems other people have because it upsets our routine. So what can we do about it? What should we do about it? But this is one of these messages where I can't talk to you. It's something you have to decide. So I'm going to put the information out there, take it or leave it. You can push it back. This is completely on ye. So I want to look at Luke chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse 25. Luke, third book in the New Testament. Let me set this up. See, when you get to a situation in life or what in your life, have you ever looked at that you wanted to do well enough just to pass? An example might be a driving test. You don't want to be great at your driving test. You just want to pass it. So you don't want to be a super driver, you just want to get past it. Or you saw the requirement and you see things rather a burden rather than a pleasure, so you just want to kind of skid by. And this is kind of what's happening here in Luke. It happened to me, as I said, in school. I just wanted to do barely enough to get by. And that's exactly what happens here. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, so the Pharisees are approaching Jesus. It says, an expert at the law, the Pharisee, he approached Jesus about this. Listen to what he says. Verse 25. On one occasion, an expert at the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, which goes to show their view of him. He wasn't a rabbi. He was just a teacher. They didn't view him as the Christ. He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Isn't that a question we all ask? What do I have to do to go to heaven? Must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus puts it back on him. "What's written in the law?" he replied. What do you read?" Verse 27, he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbors as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Verse 29, but he wanted to justify himself, so he asked, "And who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor?" In other words, who do I have to love? In order to get into heaven, who do I have to love? Because I don't want to care about everybody. It's impossible to care about everybody. So who do I have to care about? So give me a number. 10 people? Do I have to care about 10 people? Is that my neighbor? Or is it the people in eyesight? Just care about the people in eyesight, and then that's it. Who exactly is my neighbor? Now, isn't that true of us too? Let's just call it out, right? Okay, Dermot, I'm kind of beating around the bush, and you're telling us that we should care more. Stop being apathetic. That's what I'm saying. But who exactly should we care about? As a church, you as individuals, Elevate as a church. Do I give you a number? Do I tell you love these people but not these people? Who do I tell you love? Who's your neighbor? Luckily for us, Jesus didn't walk away. He gives us the answer. Verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead." First one, a priest happened to be going the same way on the road when he saw the man. He passed on the other side, sees him, injured, walked around him. Ugh, loads of people walk on this path. Someone else will find him. Verse 32. So a Levite, a descendant of the tribe of Levi, obviously, when he came in place, he saw the man and passed on the other side too. Round two, another guy sees him, sees an issue, sees a problem, walks around him. Verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came as the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. So he saw the problem and took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out a denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. Here's what he said. "Look after him," he said. "And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Jesus asked this, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" 37, the expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Go and do likewise. See, Jesus never expected us as individuals to help everybody. But he does, as individuals, expect us to help somebody. He does expect us to help somebody. Seeing as a church and as a body of believers, we should impact the community and we should impact our cities. But as an individual, we can just help as we can. See, Jesus' entire life is modeled in this story. Think about this. Jesus pretty much, as far as I can read in scriptures, I'm open to correction on this, never actually really sought anybody out to help him. He just helped people on his life journey. I mean, read almost every instance in scripture. It was like Jesus was on his way to and came across. Jesus was going to and saw. He never really sought anybody out. He just happened to pay attention to what was around him to help them. See, in this story, the Samaritan didn't seek out the man who was attacked, but he saw him and helped. Write this down. We're in a wrong place spiritually when we view people's hurt as a personal inconvenience. We're in a wrong place spiritually when we see somebody hurting and we think, "I'm not going near that. That'll inconvenience me. Freaking neighbors is starting in a half hour." You know, it's wrong of us. We should, as a church, not avoid helping people, but seek out when they come across us to help people. See, three people in the story, I'm sure all three of them had busy lives, important people, pressure at work, kids at home, but only one of them viewed it as an opportunity and the others viewed it as an inconvenience. Look at verse 34. He went on and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to the inn and took care of him. He met his immediate needs. He didn't sit down as the guy was bleeding out and said, "Has anybody ever told you about the Lord?" He didn't do that. He let his actions do that. See, we think every opportunity as a Christian has to be to witness to somebody. Not at all. You can set the foundation for helping somebody and never mention Christ and through your actions do it. I'm not sure if this guy was a doctor, but he sure acted like one. See, for you and I, meeting somebody's immediate needs, someone might be grabbing a coffee with somebody. I guarantee you, everyone in this room knows somebody who needs a little help right now. All of us do. Meeting somebody's immediate needs might be asking them to pray for them, If you're a follower of Christ this morning, when was the last time you asked somebody, can you pray with them about something? Or just hanging out with somebody. Do you know how many people are lonely? Really, do you know how many people are lonely? See, we assume, we look at another person in the church and we think, oh, they're busy. Did you ask them? When did you get your crystal ball fixed? We don't know. We won't know until we ask them. See, meeting the immediate needs of a person doesn't mean you need skills. It means you need to be present. It just means you need to be present. Look at verse 35. The next day he took the 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and I'll return. I will reimburse you for the extra expenses you've had. See, the Samaritan still had a life. When he saw somebody in need, he didn't phone his wife and say, you know what, I got to stop everything, I quit my job and look after this guy. He still had a life, but he found somebody else who could come alongside him and help. And he said, you know what, I'll help as I can. He had obviously financial resources. So he let that be the thing that helped and he reimbursed. You and I might be the first point of caring for somebody, and we might need to hand it off to somebody else. But all of us need to make sure, all of us, that we're rested enough, that we're not just the caregiver, that we're a caregiver and not just a care receiver. That we don't just like to receive help, but that we like to give it too. See, don't be the person that thinks you're the only person with problems. Be the person who's somebody willing to help with theirs. Because here's the truth. Apathy makes excuses not to help. But love finds a way to help. Apathy will make an excuse not to help. But love will always find a way to help. See, in Paul, we wrote the book of Romans. He gives us this little passage in chapter 9. And to me, it's probably the sum of what all of us should aspire to. It's I'm not there yet, if I'm perfectly honest, but it's the sum of what we should all aspire to. And this statement, he makes four statements in these verses, I think. And I want to read it out. It'll be on the screen. And to me, it gets rid of the apathy in the heart, if we can get there. It gets rid of the indifference in the heart. It's found in Romans chapter 9. If you have your Bible, it's worth taking out and underlining. It's found in chapter 9. And this, to me, sums up exactly what Jesus was talking about in the book of Luke. So Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, makes four statements, right? He says this, with Christ as my witness. There's somebody observing. Christ is my witness, one. I speak in utter truthfulness. I'm not lying to you guys. I promise you this. Third statement. My conscience and the Holy Spirit will confirm it. This isn't just me talking. The Holy Spirit in me is going to affirm this. Fourth statement. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people. Who's my neighbor? For my people. My Jewish brothers and sisters, I will be willing to be forever cursed and cut off from Christ. I'm willing to hand over my salvation. I'm willing to go to hell if that would save them. That's apathy. I'm willing to give up what I have in order for them to know Christ. As God is my witness and the Holy Spirit will confirm it. That's how much he loved people around him. That's how much he wanted to see people come to know Christ. How do we care like that? See, there's nothing more disgusting than a church that doesn't care. And there's nothing more discouraging than Christians who are okay with it. Some of us, I'm listening to myself, some of us are listening this morning and we're thinking, yeah, that's right. Absolutely. We all should care more. The church should care more. The church should care more. Here's the problem. We're the church. We're the church. You and I. So when we say the church should care more, take the church out. I should care more. I should. I need to improve myself to care more. See, don't think people... Don't think how people can care more about you. Don't think that. Think how you can care more about others. See, don't go, you know, like some of you this morning, you're thinking, yeah, apathy. Where are we going for lunch? Because a lot of us, we forget it. Where are we going for lunch? What are we going to do? See, we can hear a message, as I said, I can't make you care. Only you can do that. The Holy Spirit has to do that. So how do we as a church care more? As I go into the application, the guys in the music are going to come up and get ready to play us out with the last song. See, in order to be more Christ-like, we need to care about what God cares about. Now, we sing about it, right? We sing, change my heart for what makes, what's it? Change my heart for what changes yours, and, you know, I want to care about what you care about. And it's easy to say that, but how do we actually care? See, we sing about it, we talk about it, but how are we going to do it? So here's the application. I want you to take out a pen. Here's the application. Who or what are you going to care about more than your personal comfort this week? Who or what are you going to care about more than your personal comfort this week? See, don't be a Christian. Don't be a person that goes, meh, nice message and do nothing. Application is everything. Application is absolutely everything. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can know what you require of us, know what you want of us, but most of all, know that you love us. And I pray that we apply what we're learning. I pray that we're not apathetic, that we're not a church that is okay with not caring, but that you burden us so much with your Holy Spirit that it torments us until we're the church you want us to be. It's in your name we pray. Amen.